Welcome to Frustrated and Exhausted, the podcast for women in leadership, where I help you fulfill your ambitions without sacrificing your sanity or your resilience. So what do people say about you when you're out of the room? An uncomfortable thought, maybe. Certainly for me, I think about that and I'm like, oh, what are they saying? And I can feel myself kind of a little bit almost physically fidgety just in my seat thinking about that. Now, according to Jeff Bezos, you'll have heard this one before, I'm sure, a brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. You know, that's true for all of us, regardless of position or what we're doing. But the feelings that that can kind of raise in you, I think, really highlight that there is an underlying fear of that sometimes. And that fear is really, it's a fear of judgment. This comes up a lot in coaching conversations, and I'm sure it comes up a lot for us kind of in terms of how we feel much of the time. And it can really impact the way that we show up and the way that we behave and when we choose to speak and not speak. And, you know, it can really sort of take over some of our responses and behaviours in the workplace and out of it as well. So in this episode, I'm going to explore, where does that fear of judgment actually come from? What impact is it having? And I'll offer a few suggestions on how we can deal with it. So our fear of judgment is actually based in our survival responses. You know, if you think about it historically, like way back in the day when we were all running around with animal skins on, we've always banded together in groups in order to kind of give ourselves the best chances of survival. Of course, group dynamics, there's a lot in this, and you see it in organisations all the time. But this fear of being expelled from the group or not being part of the group to even begin with, if you don't fit or you don't conform to the rules of the group. Because way back when, you know, that was basically a death sentence. So our brains are sort of really wired still, unfortunately, in that kind of survival mode. And they don't always understand that that's not the level of threat that we're dealing with. You know, I've talked about this a bit in other episodes because it drives a lot of our behaviour and our responses. And the more that we understand it, the more we can kind of, I guess, begin to try and help our brains to adjust a bit and to kind of respond differently. Way back in those days, and sometimes to a degree, different degree, even now, people were expelled from groups because they had been judged by the group to not be bringing some sort of value or to posing some kind of threat to the group or to just not fitting or to challenging the kind of established power kind of in within the group. So I'm sure you can kind of see that this can have a huge impact in organisations, and it can have a huge impact on dynamics in teams. It relates to our sense of belonging, you know, that desire to belong. It relates to bias and lots of other things. You know, neurologically, our brains still see judgment and the threat of potential expulsion from the group as a threat to our very survival. So that sort of explains this big fear that we have of kind of being judged by others. This is where it's coming from. Now, what's the impact of that kind of day to day? Well, I was talking to somebody this week and, you know, she was sort of saying, well, you know, I kind of sometimes I'm sitting there wondering what other people are thinking, and it can actually stop me even speaking up in the first place because I overthink. I go through, well, if I say this, will they think that? And, or if I say it like that, they might think this. And you can kind of tie yourself in knots quite easily sometimes. And, you know, especially if you're new to a group, you're in kind of a new situation. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new client. Maybe it's some sort of different environment than you're used to, and you don't maybe know people as well, and you're not quite sure how to navigate some of that, and it can keep us quiet. It can stop us engaging as much as we could do. It can really stop us kind of sharing what we've actually got to give. You know, it can stop us sharing our knowledge and expertise. in case we've made a mistake, in case we've got it wrong. It leads to a lot of self-doubt. What that equates to, really, kind of both for us as individuals and, you know, in the workplace, we're losing opportunities to have impact, we're losing opportunities to be visible, and we're losing that opportunity to really show our creativity and what we're capable of. And I'm not saying that that's something that sits with you all the time, but there will be particular times when that does come up for you. And I think it's really worth noticing, you know, if you've experienced that in a particular environment, you know, have a think about what is making me feel like this at this particular point that wouldn't normally be the case. Is it a particular individual? Is it a new bunch of people that we're not quite sure about yet? You know, will they like me? Will they not like me? Don't we all love to be liked? So, you know, is it something like that that's going on? That's kind of really kind of what it can stop us doing. And it's a really uncomfortable thing as well. And it can be quite draining too. So how do we actually deal with this practically? As I've said there, you know, the first step really is understanding what's going on. You know, recognize it as a kind of thing that's imprinted on your brain at the moment. It's just one of those threat responses that's there, and acknowledge it. So kind of notice what's happening and you give it a name of some description. And this sort of allows you to just stop and challenge your brain. You know, there's some questions that you can sort of ask yourself, and you maybe can't do this in the moment so much, but afterwards, you know, if you have something like this happen and you're getting frustrated because you haven't said what you want to say, or you haven't done what you wanted to do because you're worried what people will think about it or think about you, more to the point, it's usually they're worried about what we're going to think about us, not what we've done or said. So have a think about the evidence. What's the evidence that I'm actually being judged here? And, you know, sometimes we can all be a bit judgy, but what's the actual evidence that I'm being judged or I'm likely to be judged? How much of that is actually a threat to me? What does it actually threaten? What's the worst that could happen? Does it really matter if they're judging? And what if they're judging positively? You know, what if they're actually sitting there going, wow, she's really blown me away with that? So, you know, having a think about the evidence and what it's telling you can just take you out of that spiral a little bit sometimes, and, you know, maybe help you reframe in advance next time you're going into one of those situations. You know, if you know that there's a particular type of situation that's going to bring this up for you or a particular individual, you can kind of have a think in advance then and sort of prepare yourself a little bit better for that. The second thing is it's a little bit bigger than it probably takes a bit more work. And this is really about being clear about your leadership identity or brand, if you want to use the word brand. You know, however authentic we are, there are always elements of ourselves that we try not to bring to work. You know, perhaps because maybe there's some bits of us that really wouldn't be particularly helpful or professional if we were kind of acting into those parts of ourselves in the workplace. But I think really knowing who you are and identifying what the kind of core elements of your leadership sort of identity or brand are, you know, thinking about things like values, purpose, strengths, and thinking about the behaviours that you would be displaying to people if you were acting out each of these is important too. And you know, this last point does really matter, because often, you know, people will sort of say to me, oh yeah, I know what my values are. They're this, 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 and this. And they'll come out with 3 or 4 words. But often what they haven't done is the thinking to really identify what would be happening if I was really living those values. How would I be behaving? And that's the bit that other people see, and that's the bit that really matters. And, you know, really giving that some thought and doing as much as you can to really know yourself, I think, can be helpful in terms of this fear of judgment. Because sometimes, even when we are scared of what other people think of us, if we know ourselves well and we know that we have shown up in a way that's true to our values, true to who we are, you know, you can kind of walk away even if it's not gone well and kind of go, well, that's okay, because actually internally I feel like I've done my best, I've shown what I can bring, and if they didn't like it, well, you know, there's not much I can do about their response. I think it can really bolster, that sort of work can really bolster confidence and ground you, and it can kind of help you manage those fears kind of more in the moment. You know, that's not work that kind of happens overnight. It's not something I can kind of say, here's a quick few questions on, but it's important to really sort of explore who you are as a leader, how you want to show up, you know, and really understand what that means in terms of the behaviours that you're bringing and that other people are going to experience from you. I think the other thing around that is that it's not something you do once. This might sound quite obvious, but I think sometimes we skip it. Sort of, we all skip off and do maybe a leadership development programme or a management programme and, all right, you know, I've done that to kind of get to this next point. I've learned some stuff from that. But that learning kind of, it really does need to be continual, because we obviously learn and we change and we grow and the environment changes. And unless we keep checking in with these kind of core things around values and strengths and purpose, we can have shifted, but we still think those things are the same, but sometimes they've shifted too. And it's okay for them to shift, but we need to realise that that has happened and be conscious of it. The more conscious we are of these things, the more that we can use them to support ourselves. The flip side of all of this is that if we're thinking about our leadership identity, we also need to think about our leadership shadow. I don't know if you've kind of come across this before, but, you know, thinking about your shadow, it's sort of something that's with you, and it's maybe the less comfortable part of you. It's the bit you don't really like to look at so much. It's the bit where there are things about yourself you don't really like that much, but they're really important in leadership. So it's kind of understanding, you know, what are the beliefs and the behaviours that might trip you up? You know, where somebody might have a negative experience. I mean, people will have negative experiences of your leadership. We're all human. That's just part of it. But, you know, where there's a persistent thing that's kind of stopping you, it's getting in your way. So, you know, how well do you know what these behaviours are? And how will you know? It might be from somebody's response to you kind of in the moment, and it might be a response that you've seen, you know, a pattern around. You know, there'll be one-off moments always, but it's you're looking for the pattern. So, you know, is there something that is in you that is kind of really kind of holding you back in some way, and kind of really starting to understand that? So just to kind of summarise, really, talked a bit about, you know, this kind of neurological threat response, you know, this fear of judgment actually coming from a really deeply ingrained place. And I think, you know, when we understand that, we can start to be a bit kinder to ourselves about experiencing these fears and all the frustration and the being tied up in knots that kind of goes along with them. I've talked a bit about some of the things that we can kind of do in order to sort of stop this kind of getting in the way of us having impact, you know, whether that's just that pure understanding of what it is that's actually happening and starting to sort of challenge our brains a little bit, talking about kind of understanding who we are as leaders, and so that we can really feel confident in that and grounded in that, and that confidence and that sense of being quite rooted in it can help us to sort of push off these fears that can kind of get in our way. And obviously, you know, also the flip side of that, understanding the more negative aspects of some of our behaviour and sort of exploring that. This really matters, because at the end of the day, if leadership is all about leading people, which it is in my view, you can talk about decisions around financial things and all the rest of it, but fundamentally at its core, it's about people wanting to follow you. It's about providing them with what they need in order to do what needs to be done. And if we're going to do that and expect people to follow us and be able to motivate them and help them, you know, we can only understand other people as far as we understand ourselves. So the more work that we do to understand ourselves, to raise our self-awareness, to raise our emotional intelligence, the better we're going to be at this. But it does mean exploring things like our responses and our fears, and really being clear about how we want to show up and what that looks like in practice. So how can you take this work further? Well, you know, there's some really simple things. Reflect. Make time for yourself. You know, it might be while you're in the gym or on a run or cooking dinner or whatever it is, or sitting on the train going home. Or so you just, as you switch off your kind of computer at the end of the day, if you're working from home, you know, just take a few minutes to sort of reflect on the day and reflect on some of the things that have come up for you, and start to learn about yourself and your own responses. You know, you can do a lot of that if you ask yourself some of these questions that I've been putting to you as you go through. You can do a lot of this for yourself through some self-coaching. Obviously, you can choose to work with a coach, or, you know, you can ask others for feedback as well. Obviously, some feedback you have to take with a pinch of salt, and you have to decide what's valid for you and what's not. But, you know, always kind of that open conversation about how people are feeling and how they're experiencing you can be really helpful with all of this. Next week, I'm going to be going deeper into what we mean when we talk about our leadership shadow in the psychological sense, because I think I'm a real fan of things like positive psychology and, you know, cultivating positive mindset. But I think we can't ignore the other side of ourselves either. And I think it's really important to sort of get into that. So I'll do sort of a bit of a short introduction to some of that next week, which I hope will be really useful. Thank you so much for listening today, and I really look forward to speaking to you again next week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Frustrated and Exhausted. Hit the follow button for future episodes. You can also follow me on Instagram at Resonate Leadership and LinkedIn at Ruth Alexandra Wood. I'd absolutely love to hear from you. Frustrated and Exhausted is brought to you by Resonate Leadership and the wonderful team at the Podcast Boutique. I'm your host, Ruth Wood. Take care and speak to you soon.